Issues, etc., returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008 for a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more. We'll send you a CD of Issues, etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
It's an odd little account in the Gospel of John there in the 8th chapter where Jesus has very little to say, but what he does say has stuck. It has stuck like glue in the minds of so many. Some of his most famous words, often people utter them without even knowing their source. He among you who is without sin cast the first stone. We kind of understand intuitively what that means. Now it's being misused nowadays to say, well, unless you're sinless, you can't say anything about sin. Jesus is sinless. And the people he addresses this famous saying to are not without sin, but there is a woman before him who has been caught in the very act of adultery. What does he do with her? We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, John chapter 8, Jesus forgiving the adulterous woman. Joining us to do so, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Let's start by a little bit of context. What are Jesus' opponents trying to accomplish by bringing this woman caught in adultery to him?
This is really an opportune time to talk about this, because it's very clear that they don't do so because by just happenstance they caught her in adultery. It appears that they were making sure that she would be caught in adultery, and that they were really doing it, according to the scripture, for the purpose of testing Jesus. In other words, they were trying to trick him and get him to go against the law of Moses. And so verse 6 of chapter 8 says, "This they said about Moses commanding us to stone such a woman to test him." And listen to this next part of the end of verse 6. "That they might have some charge to bring against him." It almost reminds us, for those of us who recognize what is happening to the Supreme Court Justice, Judge Kavanaugh, they're trying to find all kinds of things that he has written or said in order that they might bring some charge against him, those who don't want him elected as Supreme Court Justice. And this is very similar to what is happening to Jesus here in this Sunday school story.
So they are not really interested in the issue of this woman's sin. That's of no interest. This is just an opportunity to either test or trip him up.
Well said. And the evidence for that is scripture interprets scripture. For example, it is found in Leviticus 20, verse 10, and Deuteronomy 22, verse 22, that the parties that commit adultery are to be stoned. But it says both parties are to be stoned. Well, this woman is brought all by herself. We have no idea who the man was. Plus, you have to have witnesses, and they have no witnesses at all. And so this is clear, very similar to what they did to Jesus, where they held court early in the morning on the day of his crucifixion, had false witnesses. Now, this woman probably did commit adultery, but it's very clear in the previous chapter, and it's really good there, because there's a division among the people as to whether Jesus is the Christ. As some wanted to arrest him, and no one was able to lay hands on him. And one of the things said in verse 51, Nicodemus, who had gone to him before and who was one of them, one of the Pharisees, said to them, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" And yet they were doing this to the woman, not giving her a chance to explain the situation, not having the man who supposedly had committed adultery with her, and also not having any witnesses. So this was a sham trial, and the Bible makes it very clear, according to that verse, that they were doing that in order to test Jesus. And this word test means that they were trying to find something they could bring against him so the people would no longer follow him.
So they say the law of Moses, or in the law, Moses commands us to stone such a woman. What do you say? What do you think they believe Jesus' answer will be?
That's a really good question, because they think they have him. If he says, "Do not stone her," then they can say, "See, he doesn't agree with the law of Moses. So why are you listening to him as a teacher?" And if he says, "Yes, go ahead and stone him," at this time they were under Roman rule, and therefore Jesus would have been in trouble with the authorities had he said to stone them. So what Jesus does is he kind of puts the things back on them rather than focusing on himself.
So it says he bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground, and as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." Explain that to us.
Yes. Scholars have a lot of theories as to what he wrote on the ground, but nobody knows for sure. Some would suggest that what he was writing on the ground was what he then said, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." Now, there is another thinking that what he was writing on the ground, remember, "those without sin among you," he was writing the names of the stoners. Now, he had never met these particular people. That's what some people think. And then the second time that he bent down and wrote on the ground, he was writing the sins of those particular stoners. Now, there's no evidence in the Bible that that is what he was doing. Although there was a practice in the temple that if a couple was caught in adultery, the priest would write on the temple dust the law that was broken and also the names of the accused in the dust of the temple. But the Bible simply does not reveal to us what Jesus was writing. There are some who say, well, they asked him the question, and he kind of just ignored them and turned his back on them and pretended to be writing or drawing on the ground. It's kind of interesting that if you ask, why did God have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, and the rest write, why didn't Jesus write his own gospel? This is the only time in the New Testament where Jesus is said to write anything. And once more, we don't know what he wrote. So it's speculation. I like some of the ideas. They sound good. But for some reason, once he said, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her," when they heard that, they began to go away one by one, beginning with the older individuals. until even the younger. And the older would recognize, yes, I guess I have sinned in some area, and therefore I can't throw a stone at her, particularly since we don't have the man who participated with her, and particularly since we don't have any witnesses. We don't really know the reason why they walked away, but they were probably embarrassed for some reason that they too were sinners like this woman was. And this was a way in which Jesus was using the law to accuse that they were no more worthy to do what they had intended to do, particularly since it was a kind of a sham of a trial.
So I've always assumed that he's writing the Ten Commandments when he sits down and writes them. And because they have found her guilty of one sin, and they are going to, they think that they have him either way. He either defies the Roman authorities by advocating that they carry out an execution, which they couldn't do, or he says, let's defy God's word here, the law of Moses. And Jesus says, well, okay, if you want to talk about the law of Moses, let's look at the law of Moses. And once he's written all Ten Commandments, that's going to cover everybody, even those who haven't committed adultery externally or outwardly. What do you make of that?
That's an interesting conjecture, and you do have something to back it up, and that's his Sermon on the Mount. What does he do? You've heard it said of old, thou shalt not murder. Well, the Pharisee said, I haven't murdered anybody. But I tell you, do you ever have a bad thought about somebody? Do you ever say a bad word about someone? That's equal to the punishment of hell by thought, word, or deed. And he does that with the other commandments, such as adultery, etc. So I hadn't heard of that one, but that is another example that the writing of the Ten Commandments, obviously, anytime Jesus would write or say something, the Holy Spirit might move what he is writing to bear witness to the people who are hearing it. And for some reason, they each went away, one by one, beginning with the older ones.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show Law and Gospel. When we come back, how should we understand Jesus' way of dealing with this woman? Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer.
When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org. Click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon. Jesus forgiven the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. So Jesus is left alone with the woman. He says, "Where are they? Does no one condemn you?" She says, "No one." He says, "Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." What should we make of Jesus' way of dealing with this woman, Tom?
This is probably the essence of the Christian faith in contrast to every other religion in the world outside of Christianity. Because every other religion in the world, after she says, "No one has condemned me," every other religion would have said, "So as long as you don't sin anymore, neither will I condemn you." But Jesus does the opposite. This is so important to remember, that the forgiveness of sins is announced prior to even repentance. For example, Jesus is on the cross. They have crucified him. Some of them have, of course, put spikes in his feet and his wrists. What does he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And there's no angel, he says, no, Jesus, you can't forgive them yet. They're still sinning. They're unrepentant. This is so important to understand, that the gift of the forgiveness of sins is something that is objective, won for us by the cross of Jesus. Now, it doesn't say what happens to this woman. She has been told that her sin has been forgiven. She is not condemned. She is not going to hell for it. But how she responds, we don't know. But Jesus makes clear, from now on, sin no more. Now, let's say she does continue to sin. And this is important to get across to the Sunday school children. They may get the impression that God forgives me because I stopped from sinning. No. Peter asked Jesus once, "How many times do we forgive someone?" "Seven times?" Now, he thought that was a lot of times. And Jesus instead says, 70 times seven. In other words, there's no end to our forgiveness. That is a very important point to make. In theology, we talk about the distinction between the objective justification and the subjective justification. I know it's going to be hard for Sunday school kids to understand this, but objectively, the cross of Christ has paid the eternal punishment for every sin of every person. Now, we as individuals can reject that gift through unbelief, or we receive it through believing that promise. And so the important thing in every Sunday school teacher's goal in their classroom is to proclaim that Jesus forgives your sin and then asks you to sin no more. But even if you do, he will forgive more than 490 times.
Where do the Sunday school children, where should they be pointed by their Sunday school teachers to find this word of Jesus that says, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more"?
Yes, the Concordia Publishing House material does a good law gospel here. It says, "I sin when I ignore Christ's forgiveness and continue in my sin." Then the gospel part, "Christ forgives me completely and strengthens me through the Holy Spirit to leave my life of sin." We all become like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. The things I want to do, boy, I really want to do them, but because of my old Adam, I'm unable to fulfill them completely. And the things I want to stop from doing that I know is wrong, boy, that old Adam just wants to keep on doing them. So who delivers me from this death? And Paul is very clear in Romans 8 that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. And that's the same word that Jesus uses with this woman. Neither do I condemn you for those who trust in the promises of the gospel. And that's why law is so important, to show a people their need for a Savior, but the gospel is mighty important to show that what we were unable to do because of the weakness of our flesh, Jesus Christ has done for us.
There are some who would say that this is Jesus just letting this woman off the hook. In other words, he's playing a game with his opponents here, and he's just letting her off the hook. Why do we have to understand this as a genuine forgiveness of her sin, not simply saying, that it doesn't matter, no one's here to accuse you, what you did was not that big of a deal? That kind of goes against his sin no more, because he does acknowledge that there was a sin committed, but a lot of people will read this as, sin's not that big of a deal. The world's going to be teaching those Sunday school kids that sin is not that big of a deal, and even the sins that, like this woman, were caught in, is no big deal at all, maybe not even sin at all.
Note well that Jesus does not take away the consequences of sin. Had she committed adultery, she may still be looked down upon by other folks in the village or the town, etc. What he does is he takes away her condemnation. And that's what the word forgiveness means. It's very important to get that across to the children. Is forgiveness means you are no longer going to be held accountable eternally for the sins you have done here on earth. You still are held accountable for the consequences of sin. If you steal something, well, you may have a fine to pay or have to give it back to the person or this sort of thing. Jesus is talking about no condemnation in hell itself, even though you deserve it. And therefore, every child should understand that. Last week, I did a children's sermon, and I asked the question, how many of you children have never sinned? Well, three of them put their hand up. And I said, well, there's an example where you have sinned. You have never disobeyed your parents. You have never done something wrong. You've never felt bad about what you did. Then they understood what I was saying. But even as little children, we like to defend ourselves from the sin. The woman could have said, well, look it, they had no witnesses. They couldn't even find the man or bring him along that I had cohabited with, so I shouldn't be condemned at all. No, she's silent. And she's standing there alone with Jesus, as every one of us are when we hear from the pastor's mouth upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office and in the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, forgive your sins. She heard that. Every Christian hears that. And we pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they are enabled to go and sin no more.
Finally then, Tom, what did Jesus' opponents fail to understand about Jesus that the Sunday school children, through this lesson, will understand about Jesus?
Yes. There you can go back to the previous chapter where there is a division among the people. This really is the prophet. This is the Christ, some said. And others said, no, has the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem? Whereas they thought that Jesus was from Nazareth. And so they believed that they didn't need this non-condemnation. Remember that parable? The Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee, thank God I'm not like that tax collector over there. And the tax collector said, be merciful to me. That's the point, that we always have the children remember the prayer ending a lot of times of the general prayer, be merciful to me, which means God will not hold us accountable for our sin.
Then the law and gospel for the Sunday school children in John chapter 8.
The law is whether we are accused of sin in a proper way or not, all of us have sinned against the word of God. And that's a good point you made, that Jesus might have been writing the Ten Commandments. There's no commandment that every one of us have not broken. And when we recognize that, our only hope is, as Romans 8 says, that there's no condemnation for those who trust in Jesus, because what the law could not do, our obedience to it, Christ did and transferred that to us as the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time with Dr. Frank Beckwith talking about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. His name is new to many of us. We'll see what he looks like and what he might look like in a future Supreme Court. And then Dr. Charles Camosi will join us to talk about whether or not Americans really support Roe v. Wade. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Confessions of a Well-Intentioned Preacher. It details how I mistakenly ignored or explained away entire parts of Scripture in order to protect my hearers from legalism. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Lyman Stone writes about the certainty he found in the presence of Christ in his word and sacraments, the free online Issues Etc. journal.